Hello, hello. Golf show. Brent Gunning soon to be joined on the line by my wonderful colleague and fellow golf guy, Sam McKee. It is truly the best week of the year in Canadian golf, especially if you're somebody in the GTA. We've been so spoiled with all of these RBC Canadian Opens right in our backyard, including this year at Oakdale Golf and Country Club, where they will be back for the 2026 RBC Canadian Open. We got to talk about the goings-on elsewhere in the game of golf as well, because, it's our national open, and heaven forbid we have one of those where we could just talk about that tournament and the wonderful golfers who are playing in it. But no, the PGA Tour and the PIF, LIV Golf, the DP World Tour, who, as they pointed out, the DP World Tour, commissioned by a Canadian, Keith Pelley, maybe let us have our national open in peace here one of these years. I have Sam McKee with me now. McKee, I was just saying, I love this week. It's my favorite week of the golfing year. And for the second straight year, they won't just let me enjoy it. They have to start it with a sledgehammer. So I honestly, I think this thing has been talked to death. I don't know that either of us have too much to say on it. I do want to talk about the tournament we're here for. But what do you got for me on your beloved LIV coming in and stealing the game of golf? I think is how I'm choosing to look at it. What say you?
That is an extreme way to look at it. We better have something to say. We're the host of the golf show. It's the biggest golf news in 40 years, so probably should have something to say on it. But yeah, happy Canadian Open week to you, Gunnar, to you and yours. RBC Canadian Open. Just went outside as usual before the show to check out the weather. Spectacular day if you're heading to Oakdale. Just about 22, feels like 24 out there, warming up. You may need a quarter zip until this afternoon, but boy, it's splendid. So enjoy yourself. I have a feeling that the afternoon crowds today at Oakdale could get a little bit greased up, which we like. Saw them yesterday at the rink hole, yucking it up pretty good. So really happy with the weather that we're getting today. Okay, on to LIV. I've talked about this with you in various different places. I have, I've tweeted about it. I've talked about it with friends. This is a crossover golf story. This is a story that crossed over big time. I went out for dinner with my sister last night. She was asking me about it. She doesn't really care about golf. Everyone in the world is trying to talk about this story. I said it multiple spots. I'll say it again here. It's a pretty dark turn of events for the golf world in general, right? Because a lot of people were on their moral high horse, rightfully so, about LIV, which, I didn't get up on that thing. I was just kind of down in the ditch a little bit. I was in the mud.
Were you petting the horse, like the high horse on the nuzzle a little? No?
Not really. Okay. I always liked the idea of a competitive tour. There's some things, obviously, about LIV that I didn't love, but I always thought that the PGA Tour kind of had this monopoly over everything, and I thought that, a little bit of a threat to them may do some good for the PGA Tour, which, to start this year, it did. The guys were getting millions, way more money for all this stuff, and they made all these plans. And then all of a sudden, Jay Monahan doesn't tell anyone about anything and just joins forces with them. I can't tell you. This is in the Twitter era, you get a lot of shocking things that come across your little word machine that you look at all day long. This is amongst the most shocking things I've ever seen. So I really could not believe that this happened.
I've been trying to put in perspective the just shock element of it that I experienced when I first saw the CNBC story and the fact that it was only coming from them. There were no golf reporters on it. I honestly have not been that floored by news. And it was the exact same reaction of, no, there's no way this can be true. The only difference was, and the thing I'm about to reference, was that TMZ was on it. So as much as you may roll your eyes, they're usually right about those things. And it was Kobe Bryant. I honestly have not been that flat out floored, just completely shocked out of nowhere by sports news since the death of Kobe Bryant. And very different stories. I'm not trying to tie one to the other, but just the absolute out of the blue. You were just living your life, you're going about it, and, it's the very work-intense story for us, and then you're sprung into work mode, and it's just, it's very, very crazy to see. The thing you mentioned there...
The one that came to mind for me was LeBron going back to Cleveland.
Mm.
I knew that it was rumored, I know that it had been talked about, but when he put out,
when
that...
When just the Lee Jenkins piece just dropped out of nowhere.
Oh, my God. I'll never forget. I was the cable guy was at my place setting up the thing, and I was like, oh my God, dude. And he's like, oh my God, LeBron James. And then we like had like an oh my God fest for like 2 hours as he was setting it up. And the Wi-Fi password at my old place was LeBron James 123 because of that.
Amazing.
Like it was like the craziest thing ever. So that one always comes to mind too, but this is like in that, like Kawhi Leonard getting traded to the Raptors, you know, all these different things, like Tavares signing with the Leafs, like this is all above, that's above that. Like this is above that. Like it's one of the most shocking things. Anyways, continue.
Well, just in terms now of, you know, I thought it was interesting what you meant about the PGA Tour for the longest time had a monopoly and maybe they were being pushed and proven to, you know, look at new ways to do their business. But now that's over, right? Because the PGA Tour is now once again part of the monopoly, and it is even more so one because you could at least say before, well, there's the DP World Tour, and you know, obviously the finances are different over there, but that's still a really, really respectable place to earn your living, to play pro golf. And now that they're all joining together, it is a monopoly. You know, part of, you know, one other tour that's been that had been talked about was even a more minor tour, the Asian Tour, that LIV had effectively bought when they were trying to have legitimacy. That's going to be folded into this all as well. Guess what's part of the PGA Tour? The Latin American Tour, PGA Tour of Canada. Like all these things are all connected, and it's just one big, I was about to say happy family, but it ain't very happy right now. And that's the thing about it that I think is I'm very uncertain about, and I've seen a lot of people saying this is going to be great for the game of golf. And I understand the sales pitch of that coming from Monahan, coming from the PIF, coming from Keith Pelley, the commissioner of the DP World Tour, or even Rory. I can understand the sales pitch of that. I don't know how anyone who is just a golf fan or golf observer can be so certain of that, because there are 1,000 different ways I could see this thing playing out. If you told me it was just going to kind of go to, yeah, the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour are going to be back to what it was before, and okay, then I'm pretty good with that. And I do think it'll probably be in a good place that there's more financial backing from it, but I don't think that's any certainty at all. You know, Greg Norman has told the LIV players, apparently, LIV's not going anywhere, even though it seems like...
Is Greg going to be going
somewhere? Well, that's the thing. Like, is Greg basically cousin Greg here? Is he just hanging on for appearances' sake? It is nuts what has happened with all this, and it's just the uncertainty of what golf is going to look like. You know, next year's calendar, I don't know how much is going to change, but starting in the 24-25 year, it is such a jump ball. There's so much uncertainty as to what it's going to look like. I know you don't have any insight on it, but do you have any insight on what you even want? Because I don't know that I have the answer to that question. Like, am I open to some team golf? Yes, but I don't know how open I am to it, and I don't know what format I'd like it to look like.
I really, like, that's the thing, Gunner, is I've been avoiding hard takes on this. If it's going to be good, if it's going to be bad. Like, I put out a tweet right when it happened being like, this should be good for golf. But I'm like, I deleted it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this is good for golf. Because you think that unlimited money for a entity which controls the sport I love should be good. But, like, I don't really trust Jay Monahan to make the right decisions now. Mm-hmm. How could you?
Right.
Like, with a guy that, like, has so little moral fiber to do what he did, like, how do I trust him that he's not just going to take more money to do dumb things? Like, would I be floored if they were like, here's way more money, and now part of the PGA Tour has the Aces and the Bombers or whatever in it? Like, would you be surprised by that?
No, I mean,
no.
There was a report that Jeff Bezos, and this was the night right before or the night after the CNBC story broke, that he was looking into franchise fees that could have been in the billions of dollars.
Jesus.
Like, and who knows how that all works? You know, my understanding is the LIV teams, some of those guys may have equity. How do they get bought out for all of that stuff? And then it goes to the stuff about, you know how?
Because they literally have unlimited money.
It's true.
Because they just like, well, whatever the price is to get rid of this situation, we will just pay it. Like, that's the thing. Like, a lot of this stuff with like, oh, well, who's going to get paid here? Who's going to pay here? I think everyone's just going to get paid. Like, the blood money's going to be flowing here. Like, that's really how I feel about it. Like, don't you like, ultimately, like, a lot of these issues that everyone's talking about and a lot of these question marks, there's just going to be money thrown at it, Gunner.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to come down to. And as sad as it is, that's kind of the reality of this. And that's probably the reason that Jay Monahan, who I don't know, like, The crazy thing about Jay Monahan is that he made like one of the most insane moves, crazy decisions, and like to benefit himself. But like, is he going to be around? Like, are the players going to just be like, yeah, we're good with that guy being the commissioner of this? Like, it feels like he made a life-altering decision that like gives him all the terrible press and all the horrible PR, and he might not even be around to enjoy the fruits of his labor in terms of money. Like, it's a crazy thought that he might have fired himself while making the craziest PR move of all time.
So, you know, everyone's been doing the succession comparison because that's like the closest anybody discussing this has to business acumen, I think, is why this is happening here. I feel like there's a big time, like either golden parachute situation happening here where he's just going to get a ton of money to go away. Like you said, yeah. When in doubt, just and this is the thing we are all unsure about is there protections in the board? You know, we know players will have some board seats. They're not going to have all of them. The DP World Tour is going to have board seats. You know, who's to say is part of negotiating this deal? We know it was a super small group of people involved.
Who's Stewie? Who's Shiv?
That's what
I'm Team Ken, baby.
Okay, well, Jimmy Dunn is one of them, okay? He's this power broker name that Rory talked to. Anytime Rory says that he heard the story from one of the few guys in the room, you can understand how, you know, powerful he is. And I think that that's the other element of it is just there may be protections in this deal that Monahan did for himself, or he's going to say, yeah, I'm just going to get a ridiculously fat paycheck to walk away whenever the time comes now that this deal has been sealed. So I could see it going either way. And, you know, from the player's perspective, we all saw the reports coming out of the players meeting in Canada. And this isn't anything new in Canada. I've been listening to way too many American golf podcasts. Down the street, we heard
the road.
Just up the road at Downsview. Yeah, we saw it there. But the reports that
the old 35B bus will take me right there.
Oh, catch the E, at least the express there. In terms of what you see out of Monahan, he's never been a popular guy. He was not popular before he made these decisions. So if he survives, that is proof positive to me that either the players have all been paid off in a huge way and they say, okay, that's good enough for me, or he has basically built protections into this deal for himself to maintain his commissioner status or whatever role he's going to have. So yeah, that is that part of it is fascinating. Now,
here's the thing, talk about commissioners. Is there a more loathed person in the world than Roger Goodell? Like, is there one person you talk to that like likes Roger Goodell?
Well, I mean, so there's another commissioner who maybe operates a sport near and dear to our hearts, also hated, Mr. Bettman. Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's like, but who is the owners in this world with Jay Monahan, right? Because is it the board?
It's Piff, right?
If they are happy, if they like him, if they have a guy like to get more succession here, if they have a meat shield, if they have, you know,
a pain sponge,
a guy that's going to just like eat the crap for them. Why? Like, okay, they're not going to fire him. They're not going to get rid
of him. And that's what I was getting at with the unknown nature is that Piff is the lone, well, not the lone, but the far and away, well, yeah, the biggest funding entity in this, but all of the reporting has said they do not have the final say. That is the power of the board. The vast majority of the board seats sit with both the other tours that are involved. And that's where I go into, I think he, you know, and I'm just looking at it, how I would have done this if I found myself wheeling in these incredible environments that I'm sure I would just not poop my pants in. It would be me saying, okay, I'm going to build in these protections. If I'm going to effectively make myself the most unpopular person with the guys who supposedly decide whether I keep my job or not, let's build in some protections here, or let's build in a fat, fat paycheck.
Yeah. So did you see this tweet from John Nucci?
I didn't. Our boy, the Nucci.
Yeah, so this is some some details from Michael Rosenberg, who's a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, that the PGA Tour will still be called the PGA Tour, but Jay Monahan also now oversees LIV Golf. LIV players will now report to Jay Monahan, apparently. This is according to Mike Rosenberg.
That's interesting. And
what's the LIV guy's last name? I'm terrible. I'm going to butcher it.
Oh,
Al Rumanyan?
Yeah.
Okay. They will evaluate LIV at the end of the year. Monahan told him that. If LIV golfers want to play on the tour, Monahan and the current PGA Tour leaders have to approve the terms. Penalties to return to the tour are presumed to be significant. It's likely that Greg Norman is out of a job in 2024. And Al Roumanian has made it clear that the PIF just wanted to be a major part of golf and that, it, as it suggested in interviews this week, LIV was a means to an end.
So basically, if I'm reading the layman's terms of that, it is they're getting in there. They're using their money to.
And these are all unconfirmed things, but there's just, it's out there, and I thought it'd be worth talking.
No, definitely. And it is so what that proves is exactly that now, I think the unknown question here, and this is where the rubber's going to meet the road, and it's entirely possible that the rubber doesn't meet the road on this until 2030 or, 15 years down the line. It could also happen a year from now, is that. That's all well and good if they just want to be the wallet and they want to let all the golf people decide all the golf things. But, they're not doing this for nothing. They have been open about why they want to do this. It is to change the way they are viewed throughout the world and to diversify their economy.
Sports wash.
Yeah, sports wash. And at a certain point in time, you don't spend all this money for nothing. And eventually, this is like the beginning scene of The Godfather. This day may never come, but one day I will come to you to perform a service for me. And man, if you're Rory McIlroy, you don't want to know what that service is. You know, John Oliver has done stuff on this. Of the WWE went and did shows there, and you have John Cena being like, and we have Mohammed bin Salman in the building, like shouting him out like he's at a Jay-Z concert or something. Really uncomfortable. You do not want to see that. And look, they're all saying the right things, that we don't want this to happen, and we're just going to let the golf people. Eventually, the bill is going to come due. Eventually, you're going to have to pick up the tab. And I don't know what it's going to look like. It might not come for 10, 15 years. Could also come a year from now. And that's the scary part of this.
Yeah. I would imagine there'll be a major golf tournament in somewhere near Saudi Arabia where you have to be there, I would imagine, right?
The fifth major, the Players.
God, I can imagine them making another major.
Yeah, why? I can see it happening. Why wouldn't they? The women's tour, they have five majors. And guess who funds a lot of the women's golf tour?
Yeah.
The PIF. Okay.
I know.
All right. So we started off happy. Now we're back to sad.
Anything more uplifting? Like,
no. Okay, here.
Listen, Gunnar, I want to say this on the golf show. Like, I feel for guys like you, guys like, I don't know if you saw Kyle Porter. I don't know if you saw his tweet thread yesterday.
Yeah,
like a guy that's like been a super outspoken defending the PGA Tour and like how much this has taken a toll on him. I saw Rory McIlroy. You were at the press conference, but like we watched him play golf and he just doesn't have that spring in his step like he usually does. Although he had a nice round yesterday.
He did get it going a little yesterday, bogey free.
He's right in the mix, which we like to see. But like this is like I can't overstate how much Jay Monahan threw his supporters under the bus and then like got the old Jane bus to back up over top of him. Like it was a really unprecedented, wild, uninhibited move where he didn't take any advice from anybody outside of five guys in a room. They got the news out there and they're just dealing with the consequences. And the sad thing is, Gunnar, you know what? This will blow over. That's like the world we live in, right? Like, I'm sure that's something that a lot of PR firms and a lot of like different people talk about, that like if you can eat it for a week, right?
Yeah.
The Jays tried this with Anthony Bass, didn't work.
A team literally across the street just tried this.
But like a lot of times you can survive the initial blowback, and if you can get past that, and then we move on to the next outrage. And the world moves so quickly through internet and everything. So I'm sure like in a year, once we know what all the changes are, like there'll be a lot less talk about that. And that's what the Saudis want.
Yep.
Which is, and back to depressing.
Yes.
So I feel for you, Gunnar. I feel for people who defended so hard because you guys were on the right side of history and you got kicked in the gonads about it.
Yeah, it really is the our expectations were low, but damn, Jay Monahan. That was the worst part about it, is that all of the people, and Rory, he was pretty publicly defensive of him even afterwards, which I still don't wholly understand, but.
Well, he knows he's still in power. I would love, like, my dream and the number one way that that Rory would be like the purest guy ever if he was like, I quit.
Well, that's it.
If he was like, I quit. But the thing is, there's nowhere else to go.
Nope.
They literally just got rid of, and that's the thing to me that
You're cool.
Right, you gotta stop the drops on the golf show. I spook like a horse, pal. We don't do any drops, and then all of a sudden, it's like,
the visual aspect that me and me alone got to see there of McKee just literally almost falling out of his chair.
What was I even talking about? I don't even remember.
You were talking about Rory and how you felt for him.
Oh yeah, but there's just nowhere to go. Yeah. Like that part of it has to be like a lawsuit in itself that. There's no competition.
It's really funny in that the guys who were suing, like the Phil Mickelsons of the world, being like, you can't do this. You can't keep me out of the game. This is unfair. Could Rory McIlroy and like the Pope together be like, in the nature of goodness, I have to have somewhere to spread the light of golf.
There's nowhere to go. You are stuck in the evil money.
Amazing.
There's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, I guess you could go play like I said, like go play on the McKenzie or the PGA Tour of Canada, but they are owned by Piff now. Yep. It's like there's just no tour. Like he's gonna go play on that Outlaw Tour. Remember during COVID?
Oh yeah, that's
you know, he's gonna Outlaw be a, Tour.
What was it? In Tilsonburg. Mm-hmm. There it is. That's where he's gonna be.
Yeah.
He's gonna be up at Tilsonburg playing Renegade Golf during COVID. All right, that stumble was worth the payoff there. Would you like to talk? Would you like to talk about our National Open for 5 minutes here?
I would love to. We're going to talk to our great friend, Adam Stanley, who I had the chance to introduce to my wife. I ran into him when we were leaving, so he got to meet Allie.
I don't know who's luckier, Allie or Stanley. Just a
Stanley
great meeting of the minds
I love what they say. He's like, I've heard a lot of good things. It's like, God, I love when people say that.
The best.
That's like my favorite thing. I always say that when I meet somebody that I've heard about for a long time. Heard a ton of great things. Is there anything better than hearing that when you get introduced to somebody?
So good.
God, it's the best. Recognition in general is just the best for anyone out there. But I went on Thursday. I was there all day. I put in a shift. I got there at 8:30, got home at 7:30. Boy, the dogs were barking. I did 21,000 steps, lots of hills involved at Oakdale. It's a pretty up and down course. I'll be interested to see.
There's a lot of greens placed on top of the Scarborough Bluffs somehow.
Yeah, I will say, like, that's kind of our trick here in Canada when it comes to courses.
You know our man, like, Stanley. He loves a hill.
he's like, flat fairway, small kind of landing area,
big hill.
Like, he's like, that will be my core belief when I design a course. And he's like, and 18? You better believe
Widowmaker.
A big damn hill because we're going up. It's like you think of all the closing holes that they've had at the Canadian Open.
Yep.
St. George's.
Yep.
It's just straight up a hill, like every single one. So like I would say that I'm interested to see Oakdale today on a different day. Like it was kind of cloudy there on the day I was there. I wasn't able to go yesterday because I was hosting Real Kipper and Bourne, but Thursday, it was kind of got chilly. It was kind of rainy. It was overcast. So, like, it's hard for any golf course to look really great. But today, with the sun's out, it's sparkling out there. It's a nice warm day. I'm interested to see how it's going to look today. The crowds will be bigger today. I'll be interested to see how everybody's moving around. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they set it up today. So, I'm going to head up there for a few hours.
I just have to give everybody a little behind the scenes, and this is something that I highly doubt would have ever been picked up on the broadcast, but me and McKee had a front row seat for this, so we got to tell you all about it. So they always set up feature groups in this tournament.
Oh, boy.
Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose were part of, they were the crown jewels of the feature group. Webb Simpson was supposed to be part of it. He was a late illness. So it's this guy, Omar Uresti, who has vague tour status because he's made 150 lifetime cuts, so he was an alternate. He gets in the field. Mazel tov. Good for him. That's great.
Job. Get to play with Rosie.
Get to play with Rosie and McIlroy.
And
to his credit, he started out okay, but no man has or woman, no person has ever grinded maybe my girl Brooke Henderson, but no person has ever grinded in the game of golf like Omar Uresti did. Now, and look, you know, pace of play, it's always a conversation, but kudos to this guy. Like, he's a tour pro. He clearly feels no need to be rushed just because he's with Rosie and Rory. But my God, the amount of times he marked his ball with a foot and a half left on it, threw it to his caddy. He's doing the full JB Holmes plumb bobbing. It was disgusting.
I thought we were going to witness a atrocity on the eighth green when Justin Rose,
who was already upset about the hole in and of itself.
Yes. And he had, what did he have? He marked a 3-footer.
If that.
And he throws the ball to his Oakdale caddy, who probably a member, to wash it off. And the look, if looks could kill, well, Omar would have been right there. And I've never seen someone matter.
Justin Rose did the full, you know, there. We know the two power stances of I hate how long this is taking is yes. The hand on the hip where you look a bit like a tea kettle there and the hip is popped out and then drop the head and the arms folded. That's the yes. other. Let's go. We got the full blown, full out, arms out. What are you doing here? And just walking off the green while your playing partner has yet to finish the hole from both Rose and McIlroy.
And I thought I was really impressed with Rose's pace of play. I kind of think of him more as a
I
grinder,
do too.
But like he is a little slow on the tee doing his little weird, his thing that
rehearsal.
He does.
Yeah.
Rehearsal. But to his credit, like I thought he played pretty quickly and he had a good round when he finished -3 after that day. I don't know what he did yesterday.
Yeah, it was -3. Yeah.
I thought he played really well and I just respected how quickly he played. So well, we should probably go
yeah,
to get Stanley,
should.
But
the last thing I'll say about Rose, he is the classic example of you don't have to be quick as long as you do stuff before it's your time to hit,
yes.
because then you can have 75% of your routine done. Our man Omar was putting on gloves while other guys were waiting for him to hit. It was just way too much, and he should be involved in the punishment for guys coming back. If you are coming back from live, you got to play at least a round with Omar and get through it. All right, we got through that. We talked about live and the merger and everything happened yes. there. Now let's talk about our wonderful National Open with a man.
I got a couple questions for people.
Okay, you got a couple, Stanley. Okay, well, I'm going to talk to him about that. We're going to talk to him about his time on the ground. This guy loves the Canadian Open so much. He even stayed overnight on site one night. We'll talk to him about that when we continue as well. It is the Golf Show with Gunning and McKee here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Golf show with a couple of golf guys. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee. Got a straggler joining our twosome here. Turned into a threesome on the golf show. Whoa. Adam Stanley going to join us in just a second here. This Canadian Open update is brought to you by TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley, a place near and dear to both of our hearts. Sammy, the now home of golf in Canada, a fitting sponsor for a very, very big week there. And, you know, it's funny. We've been talking about potential future venues one day down the line. I think a lot of people would expect to see an RBC Canadian Open played there. Obviously, though, they're doing a ton of great work, and they have been doing that, including a ton of different lodging and some work being done on one of the courses right now. But joining us now to talk about a course that needs no work done because it is currently hosting a PGA Tour tournament in our National Open, our man and yours, Adam Stanley. Stanley, how are we doing this morning?
What's up, fellas? I can't believe that it's Saturday at the Canadian Open, to be honest, just based on, like, this week and how banana land it's been. It seems like we've pressed the gas and it's finally the weekend. It's 36 holes in the books. Kind of crazy, but we're ready to go here for sure.
I keep asking people, they tell me one day it'll happen. One day we'll have a normal RBC Canadian Open again. One day, but that is not this year. So let's start with all the shenanigans and then hopefully we can talk about what's shaping up to be a pretty fun weekend at Oakdale. The news of the week, you know, you had a sit down with Rory. Kudos to you on that. Just a couple of girl dads chopping it up. I saw that there. You know, just your overall perception of him. You've been someone who's got to spend a little bit of time with him at this event. Obviously, you've had chances to interview him in the past, and he's been the guy carrying the flag for golf, and it was just incredible to see the difference in the pep in his step, his emotion, yeah. the way he was wearing it this week versus this time last year.
Yeah, 100%. You know, there's a lot of body language in his interview on Wednesday that just kind of suggested, you know, this was a man that had done a lot and was just kind of exhausted of the whole thing, conceptually, emotionally, physically, certainly, mentally. It's just been a lot. And the impressive thing about how Rory handled it last year is that guy won the FedEx Cup. Like, he had the best body of work of anyone on the PGA Tour on the golf course last year. And he was doing all of that at the same time that he was, you know, carrying the weight of the PGA Tour, you know, in the media and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So kudos to him. The calendar turns, gets to the first major of the year, misses the cut at the Players, misses the cut at the Masters, but he's like, guys, I'm done being part of this narrative. Whatever. It's life is going on. And then of course he comes this week and they have the big announcement, and for the second year in a row, you know, he's gotta answer all the questions. And not only did he answer the questions Wednesday, he answered the questions Thursday. 7 of the 9 of them were about this thing, and one of them was about the air quality in Toronto. So, you know, Rory's got all the answers apparently. But the you know, the only thing that I will say from our one-on-one, you know, it was an RBC thing, so it was kind of just a fun interview. That content's coming out today. He didn't really want to do it. Then he came in, and I told him what we were doing, and he had some laughs, and all was well. So you're welcome, everyone else, for warming him up. But I asked him how he was, and he's like, yeah, I'm good. I was like, how are you really? And he's like, I just want to play golf. And I cannot blame him. Like, he just wants to go and do his job. And, you know, maybe some of this is of his own making because he continues to be, you know, the guy that keeps saying things, but kudos to him. He's super smart. So obviously he cares about, you know, the product. He cares about the future. He's involved in a bunch of different business ventures as well. You know, but that, at the end of the day, he's a professional athlete. And if the people with all the money have come in and said they want to spend all the money on the PGA Tour, the entity in which he has tied himself to, he basically said, I would rather have that then have them spend all the money with a competitor. And that's where we're at, and off we go.
So were you surprised to hear his sort of defense of Jay Monahan when he talked? Like, I don't
Yes.
fully defend him, but like, that to me was the number one takeaway from that press conference. Like, what did you think when you heard him talking in that sort of tone, Adam?
Yeah, great question. And I would say that based on the replies and the emotion and the feelings and the tweets of, you know, almost all of the other guys on the PGA Tour, from, you know, rank and file guys to multi-time winners, you know, they were all saying like, hey, this is really disappointing. And, you know, strip away the golf, strip away the politics, strip away, you know, the socioeconomic effort and issue that is involved in this thing. And imagine if like Coke and Pepsi merged and nobody said anything. Well, yeah, the employees of Coke and Pepsi would probably be pretty upset at the CEO for not saying anything. So it's the same deal here, at least in my opinion. You know, the employees, and I'm using that in air quotes, are you know, notably cheesed at their leader for making this decision without their knowledge. And Rory, to the defense of Jay Monahan, is basically like, I spent more time with our commissioner than anyone else, and probably most of these guys like combined. And I believe in him. I believe in his intelligence, and I believe, you know, in him as a leader. And I'm sure he's going to, you know, push us all through in a positive, despite the fact that he kind of, you know, tripped over himself with respect to the PR of this whole thing. So, you know, I think from the rank and file guys, you know, there is a process in place for voting out the commissioner amongst the PGA Tour members. Would that end up happening? Potentially, the process is in place, like I said, but Rory's voice carries so much weight, and Rory's saying, I believe in Jay, and I think that is going to make all of the best players on the PGA Tour say, all right, Jay, you kind of screwed it up by not telling us, but we know you're a good leader, so take it on and run with it.
Yeah, and the other thing that, you know, I'm sure reporting of this will continue to come out is, you know, what potential protections, forget about the PGA Tour's player board, right? But the board yeah. that involves this new entity right now, it's entirely possible Monahan could have kind of built in some protections there just in terms of who the other board members are. And now we're doing an actual CNBC podcast instead of yeah. one that's like, instead of kind of golf adjacent.
It's a succession pod.
Yeah, it really is.
Jay Monahan, the pain spot.
Pain sponge, yeah, not the way he wanted things to go thus far. The biggest question I have, and I'm not asking you for the answer to this, but the question I have is, a lot of people saying this can be good for the game of golf, depending on yeah. what shape it takes, and I agree with that. I think that's true. It can be. The thing I keep coming back to, and this is bad for a guy whose job it is to have opinions, is I don't know what form I want it to take. I think, gun to my head, I'm probably happiest if we just go back to a PGA Tour and DP World Tour the way it was 3 years ago. I think that is me at my happiest self. But Is there a world that involves a team event? You know, the TGR simulator golf has kind of been not talked about, but it's included in all this as well. Do you have any ideas, like, as you've thought about this, of what the best version of world golf kind of looks like whenever it gets set? I'm assuming kind of for the 24-25 season.
Yeah, zoom out like a long way. Strip away your emotion of the source of the funding. And if you have this conversation 2 years from now, let's call it 2025, because the 2024 PGA Tour schedule is like 95% done. It should be announced in a couple weeks. So let's say it's 2025. We've zoomed out, and all of a sudden we've got all of the best players in the world playing against each other more often for way more money on a global stage. If you're a fan of professional sports and if you're a fan of professional golf, like that's a good thing, you know, like it's going to be exciting to see these guys competing around the world for a lot of money. You know, they're going to be happy. We're going to be excited. Maybe some new venues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the obvious issue is, what does the format of the three existing entities, the DP World, the PGA Tour, and LIV, how does it all kind of shake out? Who's going to play where? How do you earn membership? What's the deal? One player suggested to me that what may end up happening is kind of a European soccer model situation. So the best of the best, maybe it's the team thing. Maybe that's, you know, the equivalent of the Champions League. So we'll see, you know, some team events. Maybe we'll see 8 of those throughout the year. That's like the Champions League in this scenario. Then we've got the Premier League, and that's kind of your regular season events. Maybe those are PGA Tour branded. Who really knows? And then you've got, you know, maybe whatever below the Premier League is, and that's kind of the DP World Tour and everything else. So you've kind of got these levels to elite men's professional golf with this as yet unnamed entity kind of overseeing the whole thing. It's very complicated, but it would allow for some team golf things, some just regular PGA Tour events, and then the rank and file guys still to have the opportunity to play for arguably more money. The number that I was told from another player that is being tossed around with respect to the investment from the PIF is in the, quote, multiple billion dollar range. That seems like a lot to all of us, but the PIF fund itself is set to hit like $2 trillion by 2030. And like, just the money is consistently coming in. So, you know, $2-3 billion of funding injected in the men's pro golf is kind of like a rounding error for these guys. So that takes us all the way back to Rory's point about these guys, the PIF, they're not going to stop investing in golf. So Jay Monahan's mouth is writing checks that his bank account can't cash. But, oh, look at that. We found someone that can cash those checks. So for the betterment of the game, zoom out a long, long way, kind of shrug your shoulders at the source of the funding. It's probably going to be better for the sport. But the kind of trickle down, how it will be formatted, there'll be a team element, there'll be some regular events, there'll be an opportunity for a bunch of guys, but there are so, so many questions kind of around that framework. But I think that's kind of the basis of it based on talking to one player.
I'm going to move on to the RBC Canadian Open now, if everyone's all right with that.
Oh, goody.
I'd love to.
Yes. Yes. So there's a Canadian in the second to last pair here. Corey Connors teeing off with Tyrrell Hatton at 3:15 today. Are you confident that Corey is going to be able, like, how much pressure do you think Corey is feeling on this one in terms of, you know, what we've seen, what's happened to him in some big tournaments down the stretch here where he's been in the mix? Like, do you feel like the major championship pressure is going to be on him this weekend?
It's a fabulous query. And I think that the good news for Corey is that he's only 2 or 3 weeks removed from fumbling the bag on Sunday at a major championship. So he kind of has put that behind him. And now he's teeing it up at a golf course that is essentially set up the exact same way that Oak Hill was at the PGA Championship, like fairways and greens. That's just Corey Connors golf. That's why he's having so much success through 36 holes, is because he is playing his normal game, and his normal game, elite ball striking all around the shop, is allowing him to have so much success here. He didn't really have to do all that much. Like, dude, he was first in proximity amongst everyone in the field yesterday. So his approach shots, they averaged like 17 feet away from away from the hole. That's his average. Like, talk about dialed, you know? And this is a guy who is very stoic. He's very even-keeled, and I think that that's going to benefit him a lot. I asked Rory about his interactions with Corey, and he was like, Corey has a very gentle personality, and I think that that's going to really benefit him, you know, moving forward, moving through today, which is going to be absolutely bonkers, by the way. It's going to be 25 and sunny here in Toronto. The rink hole is going to be rocking. Everyone's going to be – like, imagine getting on the property and 100% of the people there want Corey Connors to win this tournament. That would be a lot for anyone to kind of compartmentalize, yeah. But I think Corey's the best out of all of them with respect to just being kind of even-keeled. So if he can keep up his ball striking, if he can kind of stay in the moment – and probably, you know, for the betterment of his mental approach to things, you know, he had a family emergency on Thursday, so he was almost kind of distracted by the moment on the golf course anyways. And, you know, he peeled out early on Thursday, didn't do any media. So the fact that that's, you know, kind of sorted and settled, he managed to get through everything there. He came back, he played really good. You know, I think that that was, you know, a bit of a distraction from the golf in the moment. And now, you know, he's just playing so good on a golf course that's built for him. You know, and the fact that he's got this major championship experience from just a couple weeks ago now in the rear view, you know, he's got, I think he's just got a really good chance to hang on through today and then stay in the mix for Sunday's finale.
So I just, I mean, outside of Corey, there's 8 Canadians made the cut, which is just like, that's incredible for the world of golf in Canada. Like, you know, we talk to Kevin Blue all the time about their plans, their huge plans for Golf Canada. This is the type of stuff that makes those things possible. When you actually see the plans in motion with all these incredible Canadian golfers, 8 making the cut seems incredible to me. Like, this is such an impressive weekend for Golf Canada. And if they could find a way to get a guy to win this, it's just, I'm feeling very, very patriotic looking at this leaderboard. I really am.
I think it's like and building on your point exactly, I think it's a neat like spectrum of guys who have made the cut. You know, we've got Will Bateman, who was number one on PGA Tour Canada last year, who is only playing his second PGA Tour event, period. You know, he's made the cut all the way through to, of course, Corey is the favorite. But then we've got Mike Weir. Make the cut. Talk about a grind from Weirzy.
Jars that long one on 9 to, that was amazing.
Anyway, I jarred it on 9 and then jarred the birdie on 18, you know, little fist pump there, 53 years old, second oldest guy in the field, would have been the oldest guy in the field had it not been Omar Uresti making the last minute jump off the bench after a late Webb Simpson withdraw. So
he made the most of it, Adam.
He absolutely did. Oh my gosh. Shooting 11 over or whatever it was through 36 holes. But kudos to Weirzy. I mean, that was super impressive. Hasn't made the cut at the Canadian Open since 2014. And basically was the second oldest Canadian ever, or second oldest person ever to make the cut at the Canadian Open. Sam Snead was like 61 when he did it in the 60s. So, 60? I know. Wild. The spectrum of Canadians to do it, from super young PGA Tour Canada number one to favorite in Corey to Weirzy at 53. I think that just builds off your point exactly about how much success that Golf Canada can look at this in terms of its programming and the opportunities it provided for Canadians. And now, you know, at a week when there was a lot of kind of trickle down drama and no one really knew what was happening, you know, to have this many Canadians sign the weekend is just really special.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'm happy you mentioned Bateman. Obviously, he was a guy who, you know, I'll put my hand up. I was learning about him yesterday as everyone was doing their stories on him, saying, wow, what an awesome story it is. He had the low round of the day at one point. I'm not sure if that totally held up. And I'm so happy you mentioned Weir, because I remember following him in at St. George's last year, and he was in a dogfight. I believe he missed by just one shot, maybe two at the very end. And I remember watching that. And look, like, it was an awesome moment. He still got an incredible hand walking off 18 or 9 or whatever he ended up finishing on there. But you could tell he really, really wanted it. So for him to be able to have that moment, and honestly, it not be as much of a sweat, that's awesome for him. You know, we talk about the, you know, the lack of names potentially this year. Obviously, we know the date that it was scheduled between an elevated event and a major here, you know, that's got to bode kind of well for Connors. And quite honestly, I feel like we've got the best mix, right? And that you've got a guy like Hatton who's poking around. Rory McIlroy still very well in this thing, but it is not necessarily a murderer's row that Connors has to go through. This feels like kind of the best of both worlds, where you've got some star power there, but not so much that it feels like it's going to crush our Canadians.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think like you scroll down the leaderboard, a little bit more, and you see, oh, there's Rory and Justin Rose, and they're only three shots back. So yeah, I mean they're in the conversation for sure. Tyrell Hatton, you know, after the 8-under 64 yesterday, he's probably after Rory. I think he's the top ranked guy after Rory who's in the field. Yeah. I could be wrong with that, but you know he's right there. He's a shot back as well. And then we've got a Canadian in Corey, like you mentioned. Harry Higgs, obviously, big fan favorite. He's kind of around and in the mix. Not to Adam Hadwin's kind of right there, too. He's 5-under. So, between the not-so-notables, we certainly have, let's call it a heaping handful of the big names who teed it up on, who were announced prior to the event. Still not just in the conversation, but with a real chance to win this thing. So, we know who everyone's going to be cheering for by the time we get to later on this afternoon. But to see the guys who were marketed about this tournament, the tournament was wrapped around most of these guys, and they're still there through 36 holes is absolutely a good news story.
It's worked out well. What do you got, McKee?
It's just going to be a greasy afternoon in Oakdale today. I was outside already. I felt the weather. It's got a Canadian in the mix. Like I can just, it's going to be rowdy, and I love it.
I truly cannot wait, Stanley. We'll see you down there today. You're a journalist. We're down there allegedly working as well. Thanks so much for taking the time, bud. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
There he goes. Adam Stanley. This Canadian Open update brought to you by TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. Look, that guy is as plugged into Canadian golf as anybody. It is. I will still never forget walking into the media center last year on Sunday to find out that Brooke Henderson was about to win. As Rory McIlroy was in the mix and Connors was right there. That was as exciting a Canadian golf Sunday as I've had. And, sorry, Brooke, but I would love nothing more for it to be topped this year by a Canadian doing the thing. You got a feel?
This?
No, you don't.
I don't.
I don't either.
I mean, it would be hard to. Like, I think Corey has the potential, obviously, to go out there and go low today. Like Adam was saying, it's a ball strike. Like, it's greens and fairways.
Yep.
He's good at that. I just want that putter to hold up. I want that major championship thing to just kind of, I want him to get over the hump, because this really does feel like a major for him in terms of the pressure, in terms of how long it's been. Like if he could win this, it would be massive for his career in terms of, getting it done in a big spot. But like, if they could find a way to get Rory and Corey Connors in the final group tomorrow, like there's just no way that the organizers and Brian Crawford and everybody could draw it up better than this. This is like, that would be the ideal scenario.
That is literally like we talk about, like that's the billboard. No, the literal billboard of the tournament is Corey Connors being hugged by Rory yes. on the 18th green at St. G's last year. Like, it could not be better. I think he's going to have a good day today, have himself right there in the mix. I don't see a scenario where he completely kind of shoots himself out of it, but like we talked about, if he does, there's so many other guys that are in the mix as well. Hadwin really turned a corner. He was fighting it early in his round. Him and Mac Hughes kind of did a complete 180. Hughes looked like he was off to a great start, kind of fell apart a little, was able to hold it on together. And Hadwin, anytime you can, he had a hole out right before going to the rink. I can only imagine how good he was feeling right as that happened. I'm just sitting here looking at the tournament, and it's been an interesting venue. I think that's the one thing we'll want to kind of end on here. Yeah. Anytime you go to a new venue, always, different things about it will stand out, will stick out. And, I think the two holes that kind of jump out to us anyways, I mean, obviously we talk about the rink. It's pretty standard par three. I think they did a really nice job setting it up. But in terms of the two holes that stick out, it is 8 there that we reference, which has a green that cannot be more than 6 feet deep. That is incredible.
I would say it's a little gimmicky, that hole.
It's really you have to hit a perfect shot into the fairway, because you're going to have to hit a wedge that lands within a span of
5 yards.
5 yards. So good luck with that. Justin Rose was a little upset with it. And then the other one is 18, just a really interesting finishing hole, very similar to Hamilton's, actually, honestly, just without the elevation. What am I talking about? It's a finishing hole at the Canadian Open. Of course it has elevation. Anytime you go iron on a closing par five, a little interesting to say the least.
Yeah. And I would say if you're heading out there today, just pack your patience. You know, like it's not the easiest place in terms of the get it. But if you take the bus, there's parking around it. Like, it's a big event and it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world, but you're going to go see some world-class golf on a beautiful afternoon. So if you've heard some things about how it's not as accessible, who cares? It happens once a year. Go have a great afternoon. You'll get in eventually and you'll have a blast.
And if you see a tall bearded guy in a rope hat, myself or Sam McKee, please say hello. We love
it. I don't know if I was going to wear a rope today.
Okay, well, I will. I'll have a rope. Maybe you won't. Tall guys with beards. Thanks for Brendale behind the glass. Thanks to our pal, Adam Stanley. We'll see down there. It's RBC Canadian Open Week. It's been the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.